Don't be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed. Young people, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young adults, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this changing world, there are some who would have you to back up, back down. Some would even have you to completely go away. But I'm saying, don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching from 2 Timothy. If you have your Bible, you can open it there to chapter 1. I want you to always keep my text in its context. The little book called 2 Timothy is the last letter in your Bible penned by the Apostle Paul. It is what has been called the last will and testament of the Apostle Paul. He writes this letter from a Roman prison. He's not in a nice place. He's in a dark, dirty, damp dungeon. He's down in a hole underground. They have a hole there that they can lower the food down for him to eat. There is a string that runs beneath that dungeon that keeps it damp, wet all the time. It is infested with rats. And when some of the prisoners who were in that dungeon, when their health got bad, very sickly, those rats would gnaw upon them in that dungeon. That's where he is. And he knows that his days are almost gone. He knows that any moment there could be a knock at his door. They lead him out of that dungeon. They lead him across the street. They lead him up a few steps. They place him there in front of the crowd. And his head will be severed from his body. The great Apostle Paul, who wrote most of your New Testament, knows that his life and his ministry is almost over. And so he writes to a young boy by the name of Timothy. Timothy is a pastor. He's at the church in Ephesus, where Paul himself had served for some 3 years. Timothy is somewhat timid. He is easily discouraged. He is oftentimes intimidated. And at this time in his life, it seems to be that Timothy was cowering down a little bit, that he was becoming ashamed of the gospel. So Paul writes him a letter and says to him, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I do not know that if I have ever come to a series of messages that have been more relevant to the world that we're living in than the ones that I'm looking at right now. We live in a day where the devil, as Peter said, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And those who claim the name of Jesus Christ are often quiet, intimidated, afraid to say something that might cause them embarrassment. And so we don't speak up for Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, don't be ashamed. Last time I read most all of this chapter. I'm not going to do that today. I want to read three verses of scripture to you. All of them are found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to do my best today to talk a little bit more about this whole idea of not being ashamed. I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read the scripture today. I'm going to read three verses of scripture. So if you have your Bible there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, listen to what Paul said. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Skip down to verse 12. Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. All three of those verses have something in common. All of them have the word ashamed. Paul says to Timothy, don't you be ashamed. He says concerning himself, I'm not ashamed. And then he references a friend by the name of Onesiphorus and said he wasn't ashamed. And in 2022, I'm going to ask you today, don't be ashamed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Please use it to speak to our hearts today. God, I pray that you'd guide my mind, guide my thoughts. I pray that my words would be your words today. I pray that you'd give me a very sensitive heart to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And in this room today, I pray that you would have freedom to move up and down every row and tug at every heart, say what you'd like to say, draw people to yourself. And God, I pray that whenever we've said our final amen here today, that we'll walk out of these doors saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. When Paul writes to young Timothy, he's given him encouraging words so that he would not be ashamed. And I looked at this chapter, and beginning in verse 6 and going all the way through the end of the chapter in verse 18, I have found seven statements that Paul makes to Timothy to encourage him. I talked about one of them last week, which is found in verse 6, which says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And in that verse of scripture, I talked to you about Paul was saying, rekindle your gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. Don't let it die out. Stir it up. A fire needs to be stoked. And so he says to Timothy, God has given you a gift. It was probably the gift of being a pastor teacher since he was pastor of the church there at Ephesus. And so Paul was saying to him, said, stir up that gift. Every believer in Christ has a spiritual gift, and sometimes that gift needs to be stirred up. And whatever gift God may have given you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to use that gift for his honor and his glory. That's the purpose of you being here on this planet, is to use that spiritual gift that God has given to you. So rekindle your gift. And I want to pick up today in verse 7 and verse 8, where Paul will say to us, I also have other things that I want you to do besides rekindle your gift. Look at verse 7. Paul said this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I want to talk a little bit about that. And then the verse 8 that I read, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So after he says to him, rekindle your gift, in verse 7, I want to go to the second thing that Paul says to encourage young Timothy, and that is this. He said, I want you to realize your resources. Verse 7 is probably one of the most familiar verses in all the book of 2 Timothy when Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I want to say two things about that verse of scripture. I talk about the resources that you have received, realizing those resources. Number one, I notice in that verse of scripture, there is a resource that he does not have, and that is the spirit of fear. Timothy, you have not received the spirit of fear. The word fear there is not the usual Greek word phobos, or the Greek word phobios that gives us our English word phobia. It's not that word. We know that word. We're familiar with that word. We hear about all kinds of phobias today, right? There are people who have claustrophobia. They don't like being in enclosed rooms. That's the fear of an enclosed room. There are people who have aviophobia. That is a fear of getting on an airplane and flying somewhere, so they fear flying. Evidently, there are some people who have thermophobia. Don't get ahead of me. They're fearful of sermons, and so they stay away from the house of God. But Paul doesn't use that word. He doesn't use that word phobios. He uses another Greek word that is actually a word that means cowardice. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, timidity, shame, weakness, frailty, or the word can even mean unmanliness. Here is one man of God speaking to another man of God and saying to him, you need to realize your resources, and the first thing you need to realize is that God did not give you the spirit of fear. He did not give you the spirit of unmanliness. I want to tell you, fear is what paralyzes a child of God. Fear is what causes a child of God to clam up rather than speak up. Fear is what causes a child of God to cower down instead of stand up. And so he said, God has not given you that spear, that kind of gift. If you have fear today, I want you to know this. It didn't come from God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, whenever you read that in your text, I believe the word spirit there ought to have a capital S, because Paul is not talking about the human spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That is, whenever Jesus Christ came into your life through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, he did not come and give you any fear. Read again, if you will, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and what is commonly called the gifts of the Spirit. And whenever you see that cluster, if you will, of nine different gifts, you will not find the word fear. Fear is not one part of the gift of the Spirit. It is not there. So here's the first thing that I think God would say not only to Timothy, but God would say to you and to me in our sometimes being ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel. Listen, if you're fearful, then it's not because of the Holy Spirit of God that is within you. He did not give you the spirit of fear. So what did he give you? He's saying, Timothy, realize your resources. Notice what he says. I'm still there in the same verse 7. The Bible says he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. You might want to hang on for that third one, because you might be wondering whether you have one or not. I don't mean a mind. I'm talking about a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. The Greek word translated power is that familiar word dunamis that gives us our English word dynamite. He's given us power, the Bible says. And so notice in the context again that he's writing to young Timothy, who's a little bit bashful, intimidated. He says, God has given you power. He's given you dynamite. Listen, when Christ came into your heart, the Holy Spirit came into your heart, and whenever he came into your life, he gave you power. He gave you dynamite. The old Methodist preacher Sam Jones used to say it like this: you take the gospel, you put it in a life, and you strike the match of faith, it'll blow the meanness out of you. And I think that's what we're talking about here today. Remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. He says God has not given you fear, but God has given you power. God has given you dynamite. And how much power is that? I've heard that all through our singing today. The word power is the same word that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 through 20, talking about the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in you. That's why we can say that in your life you have Holy Spirit resurrection power in your life. Don't be ashamed. You don't have fear. You have power that comes from God. But not only that, I said to you, he's trying to encourage young Timothy to not be timid. He said he also gave you love. The word love, there is another familiar Greek word, agape. I say it's God's kind of love. It's unconditional love. It's uninitiated love. It's the kind of love that God has and pours out on us. It is God's kind of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's that word love? Agape. God so loved the world. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. That's agape love. That's what God gave to you and to me. But here's what Paul is trying to say to Timothy. God gave you not only power, he gave you love. It's the same kind of love that God has that he places in the heart of every believer in Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, because the love of God, listen now, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That same love of God that caused God to send his son to die on a cross for you and for me, that same love God has placed in the heart of every believer in Jesus Christ. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God has given you love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, John said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. One thing I've learned about love, love is bold. Love causes you to do things you wouldn't ordinarily do. Love causes you to say things you wouldn't ordinarily say. There are people out in this world today that they have no trouble expressing their love in a public kind of way. Love is bold. And the love that has been put in the heart of every believer in Jesus Christ ought to be bold, not timid, not fearful, not ashamed, but bold. So God gave us power. God gave us love. Thirdly, the Bible says he also gave us a sound mind. Sound mind actually translates two Greek words that are only found here in your New Testament. What does it mean? It means God has given you discipline. God has given you self-control. God has placed in the heart of every believer in Christ an ability to be calm in the midst of a catastrophe. God has given us that ability. So he gives us power, he gives us love, he gives us a sound mind so that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you today, there's no need to be fearful. You don't have a spirit of fear. When you got Jesus, you got everything you need to stand up and to speak up for Jesus Christ. What some of us simply need is to wake up to the power and the love and the sound mind that we already have. I mean, whenever you think about that boldness to take that stand, my dear friend, that's what God gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a long time ago. The Bible says the king had built an image and said to everybody that you need to bow down to the image that the king has made. And whenever they did not, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down, the king came and confronted them about it and told them that they need to bow down. And they said, "Oh king, we will not bow down. And if you put us in that fiery furnace, we believe that our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. But if not, even if he does not, we're still not going to bow down to your image." That's what old Daniel had. And the king wrote a decree and said nobody could pray to anybody except him. And the Bible says, when Daniel knew that the decree had been written, he went over to the window and he opened the window and he prayed toward Jerusalem. Why would he do that? Because God did not give him a spirit of fear. God gave him power and love and a sound mind. That's the same power and love and sound mind that God has given you. That's what Elijah had, my friend, whenever he confronted a wicked king by the name of Ahab. And Ahab looked at the prophet of God and he said, "Aha, you're the one that's been troubling Israel." And the prophet of God looked back at the king and said, "No, not on your life. You're the one that's troubling Israel." That's what Paul had whenever he stood before Felix and Festus and Agrippa. That's what you and I need today, is that same kind of Holy Spirit power, that same agape love, that same self-control. My dear friend, you have that in your life today that ought to cause you to be able to walk out of here. My dear friend, you could ride into hell on a motorcycle and beat the devil to death with a snowball if you hadn't understand that you don't have the spirit of fear, that you have power, you have love, you have a sound mind. So don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's the positive side of it. There's a second thing I want to share with you today, and I have just a moment to give you another word of encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy. He said, "I want you to rekindle your gift." That's in verse 6. He said, "I also want you to realize your resources." That's in verse 7. "But I'm glad you're sitting down." The third one he says in verse 8, "And receive your criticism." Verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now listen, this is not what you're being told in modern day America, that if you will stand up for Christ and speak up for Christ, that you will be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Receive your criticism. Timothy was being criticized for two reasons, and they're both found right there in verse 8. Number one, he was being criticized because of the testimony of our Lord. Some people were intimidating him because of the testimony of our Lord. Now, what is the testimony of our Lord? If I had to boil the gospel down to two simple words or two simple statements, it would be this. Number one, Jesus died on a cross for your sin. And number two, Jesus rose again from the dead. He died, he rose. That's the testimony of our Lord. And whenever somebody stands and preaches that message, then they begin to be criticized. That's the same thing that happened to Timothy. Why? Because whenever he said that the Messiah, died on the cross, that was a stumbling block for the Jews. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul. The very idea that the Messiah has come, he's nailed to a cross, and he died, a dead Messiah, that does not make sense. And whenever he preached the other side, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then those who were the Greeks, that was foolishness unto them. Why? Because dead men stay dead, right? I've never seen a dead man come back to life. And so he said, whenever you preach the testimony of the Lord, he was upsetting the Jews by saying the Messiah had died, upsetting the Greeks by saying that he resurrected from the dead. So he said, you're being criticized because of the testimony of our Lord. That's, by the way, what got Paul in prison. That's what he said. He said, the reason why I'm in here today is because I preach the testimony of our Lord. By the way, notice that Paul that called Jesus our Lord. Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The second reason why he was being criticized was because he was identified with Paul, who Paul calls himself. Notice it there. He says, his prisoner. I am his prisoner. Whose prisoner? He's talking about the Lord's prisoner. And so what Timothy was finding out, it's dangerous to be associated with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the leader of the church. He's the spokesman for the church. He was the preacher of the gospel. He was the one who was out there on the spear, if you will. He was the apostle, the preacher, the soul winner, the spokesman. And where was he? He's on death row, waiting to be executed. And so if you identify with a man like that, then you're putting yourself in a dangerous position as well. Matter of fact, John Phillips says in his commentary, any friend of Paul would soon have his name written in Caesar's black book. If you're a friend of Paul, you probably have a price on your head as well, that maybe they're going to come and get you. And so evidently there were some who were in the church who were distancing themselves from the Apostle Paul, saying, I don't want to be associated with him because that puts me in a dangerous position. Paul's in prison. I don't want to be in prison. Paul's going to be executed. I don't want to be executed. So I'm going to quiet down a little bit because I don't want to be in that position. By the way, notice Paul said that he calls himself his prisoner. Paul never called himself a prisoner of Rome. He never called himself a prisoner of Caesar. He never even called himself a prisoner of the Jews. He said, I am his prisoner. Why? Because Paul knew, I am where I am because of God's presence in my life. I am his prisoner, and evidently it's his will for me to be right down here. So he's always the Lord's prisoners. So Paul's message to Timothy was, hey, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that he died and rose again. Don't be ashamed of my testimony of what's happening to me. I think what he was saying was, let the criticism come. Let the persecution come. Let the imprisonment come. Death itself, let it come. I think what he's saying was, you take your stand for Christ and you let the chips fall where they fall. But don't you be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this to you today. It's better to die for Christ than it is to deny Christ. And if you're going to stand for Christ in this modern world that we're living in, you will be criticized. No doubt about it. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying it will happen. You stand for Christ and you stand for the truths in this book, you will be criticized in the world that we're living in. One commentator I read said it like this: you need to be programmed for rejection. You will be rejected because of your faith in Jesus Christ. My dear friend, if you identify yourself with Christ, there will be threats, there will be hostility. If you identify yourself as a Bible believer, you will be mocked and you will be laughed at. And so whenever you decide, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm going to stand for Christ, you will be criticized. When you go to the staff Christmas party and everybody's drinking alcohol and you say, I'm not going to drink it, you will be criticized. Whenever you go to science class and your science teacher teaches you that evolution is a fact and you stand up and say, I don't believe that, respectfully, I don't believe that, I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you will be criticized. Listen to this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I won't read the entire thing, but listen to what Paul, what Peter was saying. He said, not only are you going to be criticized, but you need to take your criticism and receive it with joy. Let me just say it like this. If you're being criticized for standing up for Jesus Christ, you need to wear that as a badge of honor. Peter said, 1 Peter 4, verses 14 through 16. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. If any man suffer as a Christian, he uses that same Pauline language, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Did you hear what he said? If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That's why I say wear your criticism because of Christ as a badge of honor, because that means evidently you're doing something right. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks, the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he was saying was, because I stand up for Christ, there have been times that I've been beaten within an inch of my life. Because I stand up for Christ, there have been times that I have been stoned and left dead. There have been times, because I stood up for Christ, they had to put me in a basket and lower me over the city wall to get me out with my life. Because I stand up for Christ, he said, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten. He talks about all the things of a life, but he said, I'm going to tell you, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scars of serving Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't have any scars. Then you have to ask yourself whether you're really involved in the conflict or not, because you will be criticized. It is a privilege to identify with Jesus Christ and be criticized because of Christ. And not only does Paul tell him, so don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But notice what he says in that last little phrase. But he says, you ought to come on and become a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. You know what he was saying? A partaker is a participant. Paul was saying, Timothy, I want you to be a participant in the afflictions. What he was saying was, come on in, the water's fine. It's all right to be criticized for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word afflictions there is a word that means hardships. It can be translated hostility. It can be translated hatred. So what he was saying was, come on, and you're going to be criticized, but come on in and participate and receive it with joy. Don't be ashamed. Don't back up. Don't shut up. Don't cower down, but stand up and speak up for what you know to be right. Many of you know I'm a baseball fan. Particularly, I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan. But overall, I'm a baseball fan. And I must say that I'm proud of five pitchers for the Tampa Bay Rays. Back during the month of June, when Tampa Bay Rays and all of baseball were celebrating Gay Pride Month, and they were wearing their Tampa Bay uniforms, and they were going to have rainbow colors on their jerseys, five Tampa Bay Rays pitchers stood up and said, we're not going to wear them. They took their stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Were they criticized for it? You don't even have to read the story and know the answer to that. Why? Certainly they were criticized for it. But I'm telling you, that's the world that we're living in today. And what I'm saying to you is the same thing that Paul was saying to Timothy. Be willing to take your stand, to stand up for Jesus Christ. That you need to understand that you will be criticized for it. I remember a little song I learned when I was just a kid. And I always had to do it like this. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. But I like this part. This is what Paul was saying to Timothy. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. What he was saying to Timothy was, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And just say what you need to say as far as the gospel is concerned. That doesn't mean that you're somebody who goes around picking fights and looking for argument. But when the opportunity comes and you can stand up and say a word for Jesus and take your stand for the gospel, then don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said, by the way, in John 16, verse 33. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have. He didn't say it's a possibility. He said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't be ashamed. Don't y'all be ashamed. You up there on the back row, don't be ashamed. Rekindle your gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. Stir it up. Use it for His honor and His glory. Realize your resources. He did not give you a spirit of fear. He gave you power, love, and a sound mind. And if you say, okay, I'll do that, be ready to receive your criticism. Because a lost world is going to act like a lost world. But God sent you into this world to be a light, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ, so that people might know Him. So don't be ashamed. Would you today not be ashamed? Some of you in this room today need to do what you've been thinking about, maybe for a long time. And that is giving your life to Jesus Christ. You come to church, but you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. If you're going to say, I'm not ashamed, the first thing you need to do is say, I'm coming to give my life to Jesus Christ. You say, I'm not ashamed. Those two who were baptized earlier, when they stepped down into that baptistry pool, what they were saying to all of you who watched, they were saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for me, rose for me, He changed my life. I'm not ashamed. Some of you today, you need to take your stand in that baptismal pool, and by doing that, be saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you today that maybe whenever you go to work tomorrow, you go to school tomorrow, or you're out in the marketplace tomorrow, maybe there have been times that you've had just kind of quieted down, and God's saying to you today, you need to not be ashamed. You need to stand up, you need to speak up for me, because you have power, you have love, you have a sound mind. Be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you today, don't be ashamed. Would you pray with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. And when we do, I'm going to invite you today to take your stand for Jesus Christ. There may be some of you today that you have given your heart to Christ, Maybe you prayed with me one Sunday months ago or years ago, and you gave your heart to Christ, but you've never stepped out and come down this aisle to publicly take your stand for Jesus Christ. You ought to do that today. Don't be ashamed. There's some of you in this room today, you've been saved for a while, and you haven't been baptized, and you know that's the next step, but you haven't come. Today you ought to come and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm following the Lord in believer's baptism. There may be some of you today, God's been speaking to your heart, and he's been calling you to special service, maybe to be a preacher, maybe to be a missionary. God's been calling you, and you've been fighting that call, but today you're going to come and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm taking my stand for Jesus Christ. I'm using that spiritual gift that he's given me. Maybe some of you today, you've been looking for a church home. You believe this is where God would like for you to come, become a part, and serve him. Come today. Make this your day to say, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Father, we thank you for your presence in the room today. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. And right now, we thank you for what you're saying all across this congregation. And Lord, I pray that whatever you're asking us to do, that our answer today is going to be yes. So Lord, speak, help us to hear, and help us to obey. And God, I ask that today, not only today, but in the days to come, that you will help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing right now? God's spoken to your heart. There's something God wants you to do. While we sing, I'm asking you to come. Come take one of these pastors by the hand. Say, this is what God's wanting me to do. I'm coming to do it right now while we sing.